Well, hey there, eco heroes. It's no surprise that eco living can take a little bit more effort than conventional living, but you and I both know that the rewards are totally worth it in the pride, freedom, health, and financial stakes. Now, I've always said that eco living is a journey and it's not a destination, and you need to look after yourself along the way. I've always thought that I've maintained pretty good self-care, but I'll be honest with you and tell you that I've needed to crank it up a notch recently, and I thought you might be interested to hear how I look after myself so that I can run both an eco household and an eco business at the same time. So, let's dive in. Welcome to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an eco-ceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco-heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco journey. So let's get started. Jump into this episode, I want to let you know some really exciting news, and that is that my Self-Sufficiency in the Suburbs crowdfunding campaign has just opened, and you can find it under the Environmental Projects at Pozible, so that's pozible.com, or I'll actually pop the link directly below in the show notes because it's quite a long one. It's pozible.com/project/self-sufficiency in the suburbs, with hyphens between all of those words like self-sufficiency in the suburbs. But anyway, I'll pop the link below. But I just want to let you know that self-sufficiency in the suburbs, it's all about living a more self-sufficient life, surprise, surprise, in our modern world. And it will be an online course and a membership club rolled into one that combines practical tools plus really useful how-tos like guides and recipes and webinars and guest experts and all this sort of stuff, together with a gorgeous community of like-minded souls to basically your self-sufficiency sisterhood to support you on the journey towards a better, simpler, and more sustainable way of living. So I'm intending to run Self-Sufficiency in the Suburbs as an annual membership program where you can select to pay either monthly or annually. But if you buy Self-Sufficiency in the Suburbs as part of my crowdfunding campaign rewards, you will have a lifetime access, meaning that you'll never need to pay a cent for it ever again. So like if you buy it right now in crowdfunding and then I go away and I finish creating it, because I have started, I've been writing it for a little while now, but I haven't obviously done my videos and snapped it up and built the website and everything, and that's what the crowdfunding campaign's all about. So basically if you buy it up front, you'll never need to buy it again. And also buying it up front, there's a discount as well. But even better news is that you can pick up lifetime access for both Self-Sufficiency in the Suburbs and my Home Detox Bootcamp as a package in the crowdfunding rewards for only $297 Australian, which is actually less than the price of Home Detox Bootcamp alone. So I know it's a really crazily generous offer, but if you want it, you'll have to be super quick to pick up these specials as there's a limited number of rewards available. And the crowdfunding campaign only runs for 3 weeks, which means it will finish on Monday the 6th of June. And I'd also really, really love it if you're interested in the rewards on offer to buy them as soon as you possibly can. Firstly, this means that you get them before they run out, and so you know you don't want to be in the situation where you can't get the reward that you want. But secondly, it's just that momentum early on in the campaign really helps to get my project more visible in the Pozible platform, which means it's more visible to the wider world and has a better chance of getting over the line. And at the end of the day, I really need this support to help create this project and get it out there. So please check out my campaign and show your support to help me create and bring this awesome idea to life, because the world really does need this. All right, now to chat about what I was going to chat about, and that's how I look after myself so I'm best primed to run an eco home and an eco business. Now, I see us as a pretty normal family, but we've had some pretty abnormal stresses over the last 2 years really. And I touched on these really slightly in a blog post I did at the start of the year where I wrapped up my 2015. And of course, there's been so many amazing things that have happened, but we have had some big stresses. So my husband was sued and we lost a lot of money, like all of our savings actually, and more. And that led to me making the difficult decision to sell my first eco retail business, Sustain-A-Baby. And I honestly think that the stresses around all this, you know, whenever you're under financial stress or, you know, just that unknown of what was going to happen, I think, you know, that really affects us and it did affect my body and my husband as well. And I think we're still adjusting and coming down from that period. But, you know, I thought we were doing pretty well, but life has also been a bit busy and a lot more stressful than normal lately. So we spent the recent school holidays not chillaxing with the kids, but we dragged them around while house hunting in Adelaide. And after basically what turned into like a 4-week process of looking and bidding and looking at other houses, just last week we signed the contract on a very tired house in one of our preferred suburbs. So yay for us. But at the same time, this now kickstarts the process of, well, what we thought was going to be renting the house out to buy some time in designing a plan and getting council approvals before we demolish it sometime next year and start building our very own self-sufficient home in the suburbs. But, and this comes with the problem of buying real estate when you're not around the corner. So we live a good 650 kilometres away from where we're trying to buy. So we had a quick look at the property and then, you know, we went into the bidding part and then we made the offer. We just made it offer subject to finance. We thought, oh, we don't need the building and pest inspection because we're going to demolish it. But in the process, we looked at all our plans and finances and all that sort of stuff. And we said, oh, actually, we will need to rent it first. But by then, we'd won it and we'd signed it. And we had the rental appraisal done. And they said, you can get this amount rent done. And it just made sense. We can do this. But then, my husband went down to Adelaide last weekend for reasons I'll talk about in a minute. And he checked out the house to get quotes on just doing some general maintenance before, you know, settling and then putting it out to rent for 6 months. And the feedback wasn't great because there's, you know, basically parts of the house where the roof can fall in at any minute. So if we'd signed it subject to building inspection, knowing that we're going to rent it, we probably wouldn't have ended up buying it. But the cooling off period finished on Friday, the day before my husband went down to look at it and discovered that, it just basically means we'll have to demolish it and start the build earlier, which wasn't what we want to do. So naturally, my husband is a bit more stressful about the financial side of it, but I'm like, yeah, it'll be right, we'll work it out, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so there's that little bit of stress building and when you're a bit far away from it. I still think it's going to be a super exciting time, but it does add a layer to what's on our plate. But anyway, so that's going on. Last month, my husband also turned 40 and we had a couple of parties to celebrate. So one with family and the other with friends. And both were amazing functions, but understandably took a little bit out on me to organise and host. But looking back just a few weeks, I can honestly say we don't regret that at all because our friends and family are so important to us and celebrating with them was perfect in every way. But at a risk of being called melodramatic, I feel the party with family was extra special as, yeah, I fear it might have been our last gathering of our full family with our children's beloved non-law, my husband's father and my father-in-law. So just 2 weeks ago now, he went into hospital and has spent much of the time in intensive care. He's not in a great condition and we're not sure what will happen next. And he's having test after test to try and see what the exact problem is. He's in his mid-80s and his health has been on the decline for quite some time, but still having this happen has just really shaken our family. Yeah, so not surprisingly, Paul went down to Adelaide last weekend to visit him in hospital, and this coming weekend I'll visit and spend some time with him and Nonna, yeah, because I'll be in Adelaide this weekend for the Transitions Film Festival on Friday, so it's a perfect opportunity for me to spend some time with them as well. So around all this, I've pulled my crowdfunding campaign together, albeit a little slower than I'd planned, but it's still together and I'm extremely excited about that. And just kept the daily, you know, business running over, coaching my amazing conscious coaching clients and kept the bare essentials of our eco household running. So think food on the table and laundry piling up in the basket. So when the going gets tough, I prioritise diet and eating and housework slides. And yeah, so our housework is definitely slid at the moment. So it probably wasn't any surprise then that over the last week or so, I didn't just hit a wall, I smashed into it at full force. Yeah, being a mum's busy, working, whether you're running a business or whether you're juggling family and a career, or even if you're just juggling young kids at home, like how I felt these last couple of weeks isn't really any different to what I was feeling like 3 or 4 years ago when I had a, you know, like a baby that wasn't sleeping and a 2-year-old that wasn't napping and, you know, you maybe grabbing 3 hours of broken sleep in a 24-hour period. It's kind of like the same thing. So yeah, the warning signs were there for me for a while at the moment. So feeling exhausted, my weight wasn't budging and just generally feeling really flat. But yeah, I had some medical tests done and yeah, confirmed what I was suspected, that my thyroid was playing up and then I was on the express train to burnout. So which isn't any great news for anyone, let alone a mum of young children. So on the plus side though, my medical specialist said that my self-care and organic whole foods diet has really protected me for a very long time, but I needed to be super diligent with my diet and get a lot more sleep if I was to bounce back to my normal energy levels. So with this little wake-up call, I just wanted to share how I look after myself, including where I'll be focusing more in coming weeks to make sure that I get out of this funk. And I just challenge you to have a look at how you're looking after yourself as well, because it's kind of like you can't pour from an empty cup. You can't look after a family and kids and an eco home and do good in the world if you're not feeling good yourself. So these are what I do. So firstly, have fun. Life needs to be full of life, and I get my weekly dose of fun and me time and giggles at my hip hop and tap dancing classes. And I also love Thursday mornings when Master 3 and I hit the local Mainly Music program and we dance and sing away together. And Friday mornings is our time when we catch up with some of our mum friends and other kids as well, and we might go to the park or go to a local cafe. Yeah, so have fun and connect with your friends. Number two is relax. Now, I'm a person who naturally loves to be on the go, and for many years I've really scheduled in my stop time so I can recharge my batteries. And I kind of find if I don't schedule in that stop time, I don't really stop. So that's something I've learned over time. I just have to schedule it in and do it. And I have to do it most days. So for me, this is my 2 yoga classes a week. They're non-negotiable and they're locked firmly into my schedule. I also love my essential oils and I use a Young Living Peace and Calming blend in a warm bath occasionally because you don't really have baths a lot when you've got kids and it's busy. But I did have one on the weekend, even though I had all the kids' toys around me. I just put a candle on and turned out the light and relaxed. And I also use frankincense, which I apply directly when I, especially when I go to sleep, and stress away blend applied directly during the day to calm me down if I'm just feeling a bit, you know, stressed, I guess. Number three is getting enough sunshine. So results from my recent checkup showed that I'm low in vitamin D, which isn't uncommon for people where I live, since we tend to hibernate all summer due to the extreme heat. So in those really hot months, I'll often go for a walk at 9 o'clock in the evening, but the temperature can still be in the high 30s then, but at least you don't have that really hot sun on you. Now the weather at the moment's in the mid 20s, so I've been ditching my gym sessions for brisk walks in the sunshine instead to just help me boost my vitamin D. And I'm also trying to get some more incidental exercise into my day, like walking into town with the kids on their bikes and scooters, rather than driving at the last minute. It's all about being organized, really, isn't it? So, you know, you've got to get that environmental win there as well and leave the car at home. All right, number four, scheduling me time. So in addition to my weekly dance lessons, I try and enjoy a monthly hot stone massage. Yeah, it really is my me time. And again, I schedule it. I'm forcing myself to stop and relax and get pampered. So whether it's a pedicure or manicure or a massage, have that pampering me time. Next one is to just, I just work on my mindset. So this is probably more for the people in business or if you've got careers or even just motherhood. You've got to work on your mindset and try and stay positive. And I do this through kinesiology and also NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, I think. And a friend of mine has recently studied that and is offering that locally. And I'm finding that's helping me immensely to keep my mindset positive. Okay, what number are we up to? I think we're up to number 5 or 6, which is eating well. Now, I've eaten organic whole foods diet for many years now, but over the past couple of weeks, I've upped my bone broth consumption to 1 cup a day, as well as making sure that I'm having a glass of water with a splash of apple cider vinegar on rising, because it's all about maintaining healthy gut flora, because most Western diseases and illnesses come from the gut, so we really need to look after our gut health. And I've also been advised by my medical specialist to cut out gluten for a while just to avoid any inflammation. Yeah, which is tricky when my husband, he made some really delicious homemade pizza the other week. So my one with all the olives and feta, the one that I really love, is in the freezer just like, Laura, Laura, eat me. But I'm just ignoring it for now. Next point is getting more sleep. Now this is the biggie. So since becoming a mum, I've always worked when the kids are asleep, which means I'm often burning the midnight oil. Look, it's well documented that every hour of sleep you get before midnight is equivalent to 2 after the clock strikes 12. And I've known for a long time that getting more sleep alone will help my health. I just hadn't prioritized it until now. So over the past week, I've had lights out before 10:30 p.m. at the very latest every night, and some nights even by 9:30 p.m. And boy, is it making a big difference. So last weekend with my husband away and he took the boys as well, I took the opportunity to go to bed early on the Friday and I actually slept for 10 and a half hours solid in darkness because I didn't have to leave a little light on for the kids in case they got up, which was amazing. I just woke up like a totally new person. So just given what it was like this last week by going to bed early, how much better my husband and I are feeling, we've decided to go to bed earlier every single night and have our lights out no later than 10 p.m. and start getting up earlier. So anything to shift our circadian rhythms and improve our energy levels and health. Okay, the next thing I do or have been doing to look after me is saying no. Now, this again is a little bit tricky to do sometimes, especially for those of us that are yes people, and a lot of women tend to fall in this category because we like to look after others and, yeah, think we are invincible, I guess. So, but it, like going to bed earlier, this was a tough one, but it's really essential. I've just been saying no to a lot of things over time, over the last couple of years, just to reduce my workload. So just slowly extracting myself off committees that no longer served me and things like that. And that was very, empowering and invigorating to me as well. But sometimes it's saying no to little things as well. So last week I skipped a gym session, which I normally would have done on Friday. I had a pajama day instead. And I even passed on a dinner out with friends, opting for a quiet night in. Now, this was really hard because these are some lovely friends of mine. And I would have loved to go on to the dinner, but I just listened to my body and I was just tired and I needed a night in. So it was the first weekend in forever that I was alone in our house without husband and kids. So I took the opportunity to catch up on me. So I had a bath and, yeah, with my candles and oils and did a meditation and went to bed early. So here I was having FOMO, like fear of missing out, and even worrying that my friends would forget to invite me to the next dinner. But a message from my awesome friend Violet just said what I needed to hear. And she just texted, look, sometimes we need funk so we can appreciate feeling normal. And that's true. I thought, yep, and I'm going to, thanks, Violet, that's awesome. I am just going to stay in and, you know, take it quiet and recover and get out of this funk. So, and bounce back and, yeah, look after yourself, basically. But yeah, what I find the hardest one at all is asking for and accepting help. So my wake-up call this past week has made me realize loud and clear that I need help in my business to just help me generally in my life. So I advertise for a personal assistant. So I've just advertised locally, but I have had some fabulous applications coming in. So I know I'm going to find my perfect offsider. So going local also sits with my values because eco-living, after all, is about thinking globally and acting locally, like my e-guide, really. And although so many other online entrepreneurs use overseas VAs, so many Australian entrepreneurs use VAs based in the Philippines because they're on the same time zone to Australia, or they use Australian VAs who have a team based in the Philippines, I'm just not feeling that pull. So I've got nothing against people in the Philippines at all, but I'd like to create employment in my own town, and a town that was ravaged by redundancies by the main employer last year. And I'm ready to have a local resource on my team who's dedicated to my business, and of course I'm prepared to invest in them. So I think it'd be awesome to have someone to help me out that I can catch up with face to face each week and who's right by my side, because yeah, I believe that I deserve to have that level of support. And that's what getting help is all about, believing that you do deserve that support. So I ask you to ask and accept help right now if it helps you on track for your eco or life goals, or just helps you get through a funk. So getting more help for you right now might involve hiring a cleaner or doing a childcare swap with a friend each week so you can catch up around the home. I guess I need to have it messed up when the kids come back, but you get my drift. Or accepting some home-cooked meals from a friend or family, or just letting your partner know that you need them to do a little bit more around the home. And if you run a business, what can you outsource that you're currently doing yourself just to make life a little bit easier for you? Because it's all after looking after yourself. So actually, how to run a self-sufficient household is the first module in my new program, Self-Sufficiency in the Suburbs. And in this module, I'll share all of my tips and tricks for how to run your self-sufficient home so you can keep to your eco values even when in the busy times. But I'll tell you right now and let you know that the key to running a self-sufficient household, a conscious business, juggling a career, juggling motherhood with young kids and a house and just life, or just to turn up day in, day out as a present person who has the energy to give to your partner, your kids, your job, you've got to look after you. So on that note, guys, look after yourself and go out there and help make green mainstream. Catch you later.
Thanks for listening to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Ecofy Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.